Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined on the BetQL guest hotline by Buster Olney, MLB insider for ESPN.com. Buster, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Sure, no problem. I'm going to tell you, the podcast producer that I have, when I told him that I was going to go on with you guys, he was so excited. He was like, that's my favorite show. I love that show. I'm going to be listening when you go on there. That's so cool.
That's awesome. Good. Well, we've been doing it long enough.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you made waves yesterday, and, you know, Buster's a longtime MLB guy, so anytime you write a story or something like that, people take it seriously. And you were suggesting, I guess, essentially that, you know, we all know the Nationals are in a tough spot here with Soto, because obviously they'd love to keep him, but he's going to cost so much. What are you going to do here? They got ownership issues. And I think you reported basically you were talking around and people were essentially saying, look, they're going to have to move him.
Yeah, so this came out of conversations with executives with other teams who are obviously, you know, monitoring what's going on with their opponents so they can anticipate situations that might develop. And I want to make absolutely clear that at this point, this is all speculation, yeah. Informed speculation from the executives. We have no information. The Nationals are talking about trading Juan Soto. But what they see is, folks with other teams see, is this dynamic developing on the horizon that the Nationals at some point are going to be faced with a choice of giving Juan Soto the biggest contract in the history of North American sports, mm-hmm. or considering trading him. And the X factor, of course, is the ownership change. And I've covered, and you guys have seen situations where when a team is sold from one group to another, you know, the incoming team will want resolution on, you know, important matters. And that's not only in sports, that's in every business. And so, you know, the speculation among other teams is, look, if the incoming owners, you know, they're going to want to know if they can sign Soto, if they're going to be able to work out a deal. We know that he turned down $350 million over 13 years in the spring. He's represented by Scott Boras, who always takes his clients into free agency, almost always. And so if you're the incoming owner, you want to know if you can do that deal. And big picture, that's the best case scenario for the Nationals. You can continue to have Juan Soto be our headliner guy. But if you can't and you're an incoming owner, you might want the trade to happen on the watch of the previous owner, because you don't want your first move coming in. Hey, guys, we bought the team. We're coming on board. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to trade this Babe Ruthian-type young talent when he's 23 years old. So that's the forecast that I'm getting from folks with other teams.
Right, and Buster, you don't want to inherit that mess, too, with what's happened with this franchise in the past, with Bryce Harper moving on, not signing Anthony Rendon, trading away Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. So all of those, you know, compound this issue as well. Like, Nats fans, they've been beaten up by all of their, you know, homegrown stars outside of Strasburg leaving the franchise over the last 5 to 7 years.
100%. I think that context is all very important. And, you know, the struggles this year, you know, that's important. You know, how long will it actually take? Will you actually have a chance to be good before Soto hits free agency? And I got to say, you know, in the case of Strasburg, and you guys know Steven, you know, my feeling all along was he's going to go back to the Nationals because he's kind of a, and I say this as objectively, I don't mean this at all as a criticism, he's kind of a homebody, right? He doesn't like change. The question, the key question with Soto is, what does he want? Does he want to be on the biggest stage? You know, does he want to be in a place that he knows like Washington? And if the answer in the end is that he wants to go out and make the most money and be on the biggest stage, when you talk about trade value, you know, the further away you're from free agency, the more value you're going to get. That's just a simple fact. And so that's, again, these are part of the reasons why folks with other teams are watching this closely because, my goodness, if Soto hits the market, you know, that'll be the biggest name traded probably at that young of an age since Babe Ruth. So, you know, in terms of what he's accomplished, how great a player he is.
So, Buster, right now the biggest total contract is Trout with the $427 million. That was an extension, but he's got $427 million. Do you think that based on the finances right now of Major League Baseball, and they had the lockout, is there a team, an owner out there that would give Soto $500 million or $450
yes.
million?
Yeah, because what happened is, you know, for all the talk about, you know, anti-tanking measures and trying to, you know, fight service time manipulation, ultimately the system that the players agreed to addressed none of that and kept open the possibility that the star players will continue to see their, you know, their salaries rise. That was protected, which is, you know, why moving forward, if you're Juan Soto, there's no cap. Right, and if you get an owner who's willing to pay that, whether it's Steve Cohen of the Mets, you know, whether it's Hal Steinbrenner, let's say that Aaron Judge moves on in free agency this fall, and Hal Steinbrenner, the Yankees owner, decides in 2 years, you know what, we want to take a run at him. The Giants have tremendous payroll flexibility. You know, the Red Sox franchise might be in a position here if they trade Xander Bogaerts this spring, where they're going to be looking for a headliner. And keep in mind, when we talk about Soto and his decisions, can you guys think of a player who's in a better leverage position than Soto when dealing with incoming Washington ownership, where he can, Scott Boras can go to them and he can throw a crazy number out there, $550 million. Either you agree to our terms, or guess what, guys, we're going to hit the marketplace. Either you give us everything we want, or we're going to walk away. The amount of pressure on incoming ownership, the amount of leverage is going to be staggering.
It is, but again, to Cakes's point, if they lose Soto after losing Rendon and everyone, Bryce and yep. Trey and everyone else, man, that's going to be the final nail in the coffin, I think, for fans here. I mean, because, listen, we all know D.C.'s not a great sports town. It's a great front-runner's town, and we love it when the football team's doing great or the basketball team's doing great or the Caps are doing great. But it's not a great sports town. If they lose Soto, then we're just basically saying, you know, we're like the Twins, you know, or like the A's back in the day where we just can't keep our superstars. I don't know, man. I think that would be a final turnoff for a lot of
or
fans.
Or the A's now, and Buster, you've seen the lack of crowds in that stadium, and that's got to be an eye-opener for whoever's owning the Nats if Soto isn't here.
I mean, if you're not going to re-sign him, who are you going to re-sign? He's everything you want in a franchise player, right? In terms of personality, in terms of playing
ability. He's 23 years old,
yes.
And he's 23.
Yeah.
You know, I completely agree with you, which is why, and everything you're saying, Scott Boras knows,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is why he's in a position, and again, why it's going to be such a difficult decision, and I do hope for the sake of the franchise that they say, you know what, this is our Ted Williams. You know, this is our Mike Trout. This is our, you know, our Babe Ruth, and we're going to make sure that we keep him, because it's very rare that you see a player that young, you know, with that, his skills developed to that point. But as I say, that one of the big questions about the whole thing is, what does he want? Mm-hmm. What does he want? Because there are, you know, Mike Trout, when there was a lot of speculation early in his career, well, he you know, he's from Philadelphia area and he'll want to go back there. I know Mike a little bit. I was like, no way. Uh-huh. He's a guy who likes quiet. He likes to be in one spot, and you knew he would work it out, and the Angels wound up paying him money. But if Juan Soto wants to leave and go to the big stage, the Nationals don't have any control over that. Right. And then they will be faced with a decision, not only when to, you know, to trade him, but when to trade him. And the sooner you do it, the more value you're going to get. And if your team stinks now, and you're trying to get maximum value, this would certainly be the summer when you would start to think about that. The, you know, Cleveland dealt with that same question with Francisco Lindor.
We're talking to Buster Olney from ESPN.com, who reported that it's, you know, it's speculation, but it's a possibility that the Nats do trade Juan Soto.
They denied it, right? And I think Boris denied it.
And we talked about that, by the way, that the team, it might be out of their control if Juan does just decide, you know, I want to go to New York or LA or wherever. But let me ask you this. If the Learners are going to sell the team, whether it's this summer or in the offseason, would it deter another ownership group to purchase the team? And you kind of alluded to this, but why not just sign him if you're the Learners? Would it be a more attractive spot knowing you have that superstar, or is it preferable for a new ownership group to come in with a lower payroll?
Right, and I think that's exactly right, and it's a great question. You know, from what I understand, the Lerner family at the moment says our franchise is worth more because we have this superstar player. And that's absolutely the case, as you set the price on the team. But then moving forward, it's another question where, you know, as you go through this that process, and I have heard many examples of this. I covered the Padres in 1993 when they had the fire sale and they traded Sheffield and McGriff and all those. Incoming ownership, you know, the folks that were interested in buying the team from Tom Werner at that time, they were like, look, you've got a financial issue going on here. Make these moves, cut the payroll down before we come on board, mm-hmm. right? Because they didn't want that on their resume. And you would assume that you'll have those off-the-record conversations between incoming ownership and the Learners about what's going to happen. And, you know, and for the Learners, do they want their legacy, you know, touched by them, the outgoing act being the trading of Juan Soto? Those are all factors, and they're all complications. As I say, I would expect that anybody coming in to buy the team will want resolution on Soto before they take over.
But we did have somebody on yesterday, Jason. Who was it that said
yesterday? We had Barry Svrluga on.
Barry said that the consensus he was getting, and I think Buster agrees with this, is that it's better to have the best player, you know, in baseball, one of the top three players in baseball on your roster than
to build
having,
around. Yeah,
yeah, than having like nobody. Like you're more attractive. You're a more attractive purchase.
That's exactly right. And that's what I think from, you know, sources told me that the Learners, that's their perspective right now, that yeah. having Soto as part of the organization makes it more valuable. But then, you know, once you go into the process of agreeing to terms and processing ownership, then the question for the incoming ownership is, what's the status of Juan Soto moving forward?
All right. I'm just asking your opinion. All right. This is just Jason asking Buster. What's your prediction?
He gets traded sometime between the fall of 2022 and when he reaches free agency. Okay. I think that he is going to get into free agency the closer that he's there. Here's, you know, one of the parts of this that makes it easier, and it's the case with Aaron Judge now with the Yankees. Juan Soto's already made a lot of money. Aaron Judge has already made a lot of money, which makes it easier for those guys to bet on themselves. Right?
Yeah.
And so the more money that you make, the more likely it is that you can say, look, the Nationals offered me $350 million. I think I have a chance to be the first $500 million player, the first $550 million player. So I'm just going to ride it out and go to free agency. Almost all of Boris's clients do that.
He's making $17 million this year in arbitration. What would next year's arbitration number be? Would it be 30?
Some in mid-20s would be my guess.
Right.
Without actually having taken a look at it. So he's going to have banked, you know, by the time we get through the end of next year, what, $50 million?
Yeah.
So it's all monopoly money at that point anyway. And if Juan's desire, and I don't know where he wants to play, but if his desire is to play someplace else, he can certainly follow that trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Buster, let's talk non-Nats for just a second here, and thanks for taking time. We do appreciate it. We knew the Mets were taking a big risk by signing Max to a 3-year, $130 million-plus deal, and now he's on the IL for 6 to 8 weeks with the oblique strain. Mike Rizzo loved Max, but realized, hey, this guy's getting up here in years. I know I'm not going to re-sign him. I'm going to deal him. He They dealt him before the end of last season. Talk about how that Mets rotation is looking now with Max and DeGrom sideline and McGill sideline as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a concern, you know, with Max now, with that, you know, the unusual nature of delivery, how violent it is. I'm sure that coming back from some sort of ribcage issue probably will be complicated, and the Mets will want to absolutely slow play it, just as they are with DeGrom, who by the time DeGrom comes back, by the way, he'll have missed an entire calendar year without pitching in a game. But here's what's different about the Mets compared to previous years. We know the owner doesn't care about money.
Right.
The Wilpons family that owned the team before, in a situation like this, fans would be like, boy, who are they going to add? And, you know, it'd be some 4A journeyman that they might try to plug in there. When we get to the trade deadline, or even maybe before that, Steve Cohen, who's the richest owner of baseball, is going to go, yeah, whatever it takes. Go trade for that guy. Go trade for that guy. We'll fill the rotation. He's made it clear, money be damned. He wants a championship, and you know, part of that was when he gave Max the contract that he did.
Yeah.
Buster, thanks so much for the time. We know you're super busy. It's Buster Olney, MLB insider for ESPN.com. We'll have to have you on again soon.
Thanks, Buster.
That
appreciate
sounds great,
it.
Guys.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
you
it.
You know, that Mets situation is crazy because it actually could work out for him because they have such a big lead, a seven-game lead right now. So they don't have to have Max and DeGrom now with that seven. They're going to be in the postseason,
right?
Whether it's division winner or wild card. But once they get to the postseason, they have less innings, obviously, on because it's not an arm, it's oblique. So he's going to have less innings, and DeGrom would be back, hopefully for them. So maybe they're fresher this year than they would be in a normal season where Max would have thrown
except
over 200 innings.
O'Leary would say that the oblique is... It's just part of the chain.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely concerning. It's definitely concerning.
And by the way, O'Leary in December said he didn't think DeGrom would make it out of spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Didn't.
Right. And he didn't think Scherzer would last much longer than that.
Didn't.
Pretty much all
nailed
over it.
All right,
we come back. Hopefully we nail our weekend parlay, so stay tuned. Old Glory DC Match Days have something for everyone, from rugby fanatics to first-time fans of the game. So get your tickets now as Old Glory DC battles the Houston Sabercats this Saturday. That's tomorrow, Ricky's, at 1 p.m. at Segra Field in Leesburg. The music's pumping, the taps are flowing, and, of course, the hard-hitting rugby action never disappoints. Get there early for a free Rugby 101 session for fans of all ages, hosted by Old Glory players and staff, plus a larger-than-life kids zone for young fans and more. For details and to get your tickets, go to oldglorydc.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.